Welcome to the preaching and teaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, Ohio. Thanks for listening. May the Almighty God enable you to understand and benefit from His holy word both now and forever. We come now to our Old Testament reading today in the book of Jeremiah, going to chapter 20, picking up in verse 7. And we see here Jeremiah's complaint. You have to understand that back in Jeremiah's day, Jeremiah is a prophet of the Lord. And Jeremiah is telling the truth, but the problem is people were living in great disobedience, and they didn't want to hear what Jeremiah was saying. And then you have to understand, too, that there were many, many, many false prophets, and they were telling the people what they wanted to hear. So do you think Jeremiah would be the popular one? By no means. He was, in fact, the opposite, and everyone thought, this guy is telling such bad things, he's the only one, look at all of them, they're telling such wonderful things, we're going to go with the majority. But the problem is, the majority were all wrong. Jeremiah wrote, O Lord, you deceived me, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long, everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say, I will not mention him, talking about God, or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. I hear many whispering, terror on every side. Report him. Let's report him. All my friends are waiting for me to slip, saying, perhaps he will be deceived. Then we will prevail over him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior, so my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you have I committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. The word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Bible says, these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. We skip the first part of the instructions and go on now to verse 21. Jesus continued with the instructions here when he said, brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So, do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father? And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word, for your Holy Spirit, and for the finished work of your Son. Even now, as we come to your holy word, as we come to Matthew chapter 10, grant us a right understanding and grant us good application in our daily Christian lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, as we go back to our gospel reading, we find these words at the beginning. In Matthew chapter 10, the first part of verse 5, the Bible says, "These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions." But wait a minute, though, before we go any further, who is supposed to hear and benefit from these words? So we need to figure that out first. Is it just the 12? Or does what Jesus said, does that apply to all believers today? Taking a look at it, of course, he's addressing the 12, so primarily, I think it very easily applies to the 12. But in a secondary way, though, I think it does apply to all believers of all time. Maybe you can think about this picture for a moment. Imagine having some water, maybe a large amount of water, and the water is completely still. Then if you drop something heavy into that water, what happens? There's a little bit of a splash, then you have all these ripples going out from the center. Well, I don't know exactly how that works, but of course, the heavy object began the effect of the ripples, but I would say probably the heavy object made the first ripple, then the first ripple moved out and made the second ripple, and the second ripple moved out and made the third ripple, and so on. So I would say that as we are gathered here in the 21st century and we are believers in Jesus Christ, we are basically a distant ripple from what God has done in Jesus Christ to bring people into his family, into his kingdom. So I would think if we are a distant ripple, isn't God desiring to use us in order to make another ripple? In other words, in order that others might also know Jesus as Savior and be part of God's forever family? I think that's a logical way to look at it. So, of course, the focus here would be on the 12, but we shouldn't say, oh, I'm not one of the 12, so it doesn't apply to me. I believe it does apply to us today as well. In today's sermon, I want to read some parts of today's gospel reading, not all of it again. But let's go first of all to verses 21 and 22, and we see here the topic of persecution. Jesus said to the 12, "Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death." Wow, that sounds like a pretty harsh thing going on, doesn't it? Could that really happen? Would people actually do that? Well, God wants us to know that it happened long ago, it happened more recently, it's happening today in various parts of the world, and it could happen even here in America tomorrow. He wants us to know that reality. We shouldn't be surprised. We're looking here in Matthew chapter 10, that's our sermon text. If we go just beyond the end of today's text, consider the words that Jesus said, it's almost like he's coming back to this statement. He said, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." And then he says, "A man's enemies will be the members of his own household." So Jesus knew this would happen. What's he talking about? If you have a family of five, and they're all unbelievers, and God would graciously bring one of them to faith in Jesus Christ, that does not unite that family, that rather divides the family like a sword divides, so now that family is divided four against one. And of course, in some countries, when that happens, the four try to put the one to death. They are so shamed that a member of the family would want to know Christ as Savior that they don't want that mark on their family, so then they try to put that person to death. This has happened in the past, it happens today, and it could happen even more closely to our own families someday in the future. Jesus knows that knowing Him doesn't bring necessarily peace and joy to some, but rather it brings tension and even hatred and even death. He's simply telling us these realities. So should we despair and give up and go home? By no means. Jesus gives us now some encouragement. What does He say? He went on and basically said, yes, that's true. People will hate you if you trust in Me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. So in a sense, He's saying, hey, hang in there. Don't give up. Or I might say to you, hey, think about the Apostle Paul. What did he do? He fought the good fight all the way to the end. God wants us to be that same way. He wants us to know, hey, it's not easy going now, but it's all going to be worth it in the end. He wants us to keep the finish line in sight. He wants us to keep the prize of eternal life in view as we go through all these difficulties. So ultimately, Jesus is saying, hey, no matter what, don't back down. And then going on today, we see some advice that Jesus is giving us, and also a little bit of an explanation here. First of all, coming again to the topic of persecution, He's giving us advice as to what to do. So He said in verse 23, when you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Now, some people might say, well, if I'm being persecuted for Jesus' sake, really, should I flee? Is that cowardly if I flee? But Jesus is saying, when you are persecuted, it's okay to flee. Well, I believe that sometimes it is okay to flee, sometimes it's not okay to flee. And actually, Dr. Kretzmann, I think, helps us here in knowing what to do. He wrote, where flight during persecution is possible without a denial of truth, it should be chosen. But if fleeing ends up being a denial of our Lord Jesus Christ, then we cannot flee. Then we need to stand there and take whatever the persecution is. God wants us to see it that way. Many people have done that throughout history. I think about the book, Fox's Book of Martyrs, and over again is telling these short stories as to what people endured because of their relationship with Christ. And you would just be totally appalled at all the different horrible, horrible ways that people were put to death. But there were some people in the book, not too many, but there were some that when they had a chance to recant, to say, okay, what I said, now I say it's not true, and they were let go. That's what the authorities wanted them to do, is to reject the truth, say no to Jesus Christ, we'll let you go and you can live and everything is fine. Some people did that, but within 1, 2, or 3 weeks, they were so overwhelmed by the guilt of rejecting their Savior that basically they came back to the authorities and they said, here I am, I said the wrong thing by denying my Savior. I cannot do that. Here I am. You take and do with me whatever you have to. You can burn me at the stake. You can tie me up in a tree and cover me with honey and let me be stung to death. You can do whatever you have to do, but I'm here because my Savior is more important than my own life. And then Jesus talks further here, picking up, I'm going to jump down to partway through verse 25, where He's talking now about our relationship with Him and how when He is treated in a certain way, we shouldn't be surprised if we are treated in the same way because of our connection with Him. So Jesus said, if the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of His household? Well, was Jesus called Beelzebub? What is Beelzebub? That's another name for Satan. So was Jesus Himself the Son of God? Was He actually called the devil himself? In fact, he was. Let me go to that section. It's in Matthew chapter 12, picking up in verse 22. It says, "Then they brought him," talking about Jesus, "they brought Jesus a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. All the people were astonished and said, 'Could this be the son of David?'" Now keep in mind, David lived 1,000 years earlier, and they had been waiting for this son of David, this promised king who was going to be even a greater king than David. He was the greatest of the past. They were looking for someone even greater, and now they're thinking, is this Jesus? Is he the son of David? It was a very important question. "But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, 'It is only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons.'" So here are the very religious leaders themselves who knew the scriptures better than others. They should have known that the prophecies were all coming together in Jesus Christ, and yet they were blinded to the truth. Here they are calling him the very prince of demons. So he was called that very thing. So because Jesus has been called that, should we be surprised if we are called the same? Because he was crucified, should we be surprised if someday somebody wants to crucify us? Well, we shouldn't. That's what he's trying to say here. He's trying to emphasize that we have this wonderful relationship. So with the relationship comes eternal life. With the relationship comes great persecution and great suffering. Martin Luther wrote, "When a person accepts the word of God, thus the gospel, let him think nothing else than that he in that hour comes into peril with reference to all his goods, his house, his wife, children, father and mother, also his own life." Martin Luther saw it in the right way, that when we identify ourselves as followers of Jesus Christ, everything we have in this life comes into peril. People could take it at any time, just like they have in the past and like they will in the future. Nevertheless, so what I would say to us, I would say, let us not back down from living for Christ and speaking about Jesus, our Savior, to others. Let us function as who we are, followers of Christ, and come whatever, God's going to help us through, and in the end, we are going to be with God forever. So in verse 26, Jesus said, "So do not be afraid of them." Well, that's an easy thing to say, don't be afraid. But of course, when Jesus said that, he knew that he himself was facing this. So it wasn't like he was saying something that wasn't coming for himself. So he said, "Do not be afraid of them." And then he said, "What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight." In other words, he was saying, hey, don't get all caught up in fear and not say anything. Instead, respond in this way. "What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs." So Jesus calls us to live with no fear of people that hate us and want to hurt us. So how are we supposed to live these fearless lives, if you will? We are to do so by proclaiming God's holy word to others. Many people in the world think they somehow know the word of God, and they think they understand what it says, and they think they're doing okay, and they think their eternity is set. I think most people are in that situation, but I think most people, though, don't really truly know what it says, and yet we do, so Jesus is calling us to share that word with them. It's a word of great hope and blessing, but yet people oftentimes see it as a word of great difficulty because the word is going contrary to their lives, and they would rather continue life as is rather than be transformed and conformed to the ways of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that becomes the conflict then. Dr. Kretzmann put it this way. He urges us to take the risks of our high calling. What is our high calling? We are the holy children of God in Jesus Christ. That is a super high calling. So he is saying, remember who we are, and let's take the risks that would fit in with that. In other words, we could be like one of these superheroes, if you will, in the movies. We could say, hey, I can do whatever I want, and nobody can kill me. Nobody can really hurt me. Well, that's true. They can hurt our bodies, but they can't hurt the rest of us. No matter what they do to us, we are still the holy children of God. We are going to be with God forever. He wants us to live in that way. I mean, that's how Pastor May goes through his life, where he's going to all these different countries in Africa. He's stepping into these unknown, dangerous situations. Oftentimes, the Muslim population greatly, greatly, greatly outnumbers the Christian population. Many people would like to put him to death, and yet he says, I know Jesus Christ, and if I die, I'm going to heaven. Many of the people where I'm going, they don't know Jesus Christ, so I'm going to go. And I'm going to do what I can, and if I die, I go to heaven, and if I don't die, they can be blessed with the Word of God. It's a wonderful attitude to take. May God help us take the same. So as we share that word of truth then, we pray that God would use it for the benefit of others, even those who hate us. As the Word of God touches their lives, God can bring those people to be ones who love Christ and love us and become our strongest friends and allies. So God can change people like we never thought he could change them before. So may God help us to keep speaking the truth in love and not back down. And then Jesus said in verse 28, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. So we can imagine how people could inflict horrible, horrible pain upon our bodies. But let's know, though, that whatever it is, that pain is temporary. God wants us to know that no one but God can destroy both soul and body, and it's coming for many where he will destroy them, both soul and body in hell. So because we know that day is coming, how can we love those people? We can be compassionate toward them. We can love them by speaking the truth in love to them. Again, Dr. Kretzmann writes, fear of human enemies implies lack of faith in God. As I mentioned earlier about Fox's Book of Martyrs, that's what we had going on there with those people who said, okay, I don't believe in him anymore, let me go. So they were afraid of what the human beings might do to them, so they were backing away from Jesus Christ. Again, Dr. Kretzmann writes, fear of human enemies implies lack of faith in God, which may in turn lead to denial and thus damnation. God wants us to know that this is a real, true thing. So for the people who were truly in Christ, overwhelmed with guilt, they came back and said, do whatever you have to do. I cannot deny my Savior. But we also know that some who did not make the book, they walked away and they kept walking and they were lost forever. Going back to verse 29, Jesus said, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father? So think about sparrows. They are so insignificant, and yet God knows everything about every single one of them. Isn't that overwhelming that God can be such an awesome God that not only did he make them, but he knows when a single one falls to the ground, even though they are practically worthless? Well, if God knows so much about them, think about how much he knows about us. And if he cares about them, think about how much more he cares about us. So I believe that no harm will come to any of us apart from the will of God. Sometimes he may will that harm would come to us, maybe for our benefit, maybe for the benefit of someone else. So if harm comes, that's according to the will of God. But we can proceed boldly, knowing that our lives are in his hands. So let us Fear only him and let us do whatever he says. Regardless of the consequences, again, let us not back down. So Jesus has told us in this sermon, he has told us what is best. We should confess him. He has also told us the outcome, persecution, yes, sadly, salvation, wonderful. Now he finally summarizes what he has said in the final two verses. Jesus said, picking up in verse 32, whoever, so that's including anyone and everyone, whoever acknowledges me before men, thus publicly, if you will, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. So let us not be ashamed of our Jesus, the one who lived for us, the one who suffered for us, the one who died for us. Instead, let us gladly confess him. Let us do so with our actions. Let us do so with our words. Let us do so and not back down. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for having brought us into a relationship with you and with your dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to boldly live and speak for him. Lord, in your mercy. Thanks for listening. You can also visit us on the web at BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. On our website, you'll find more sermons, Bible studies, topical brochures, and more. You can also subscribe to our podcast. Go to the iTunes store and then search for Benefit from the Bible. Any questions or comments, you're welcome to send them to pastor@blc7500.com. If you live in the Parma area, please come and join us. If you live far away, seek out a congregation in your area that rightly handles God's Word of Truth. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.